Peter Davison is poetry editor of the Atlantic Monthly, as well as a distinguished poet himself. When he was just beginning his career in the 1950s in Boston, Davison had the good luck to find himself in the midst of a creative community filled with young and gifted poets, among them Sylvia Plath, with whom he had a brief romance. Davison has just written a critical memoir of those times, titled The Fading Smile. Maureen Corrigan has a review.
Paris in the 1920s, New York in the 50s, Woodstock in 69 and 94. Somehow I've never managed to be in any of these right places at the right times. Now, after reading The Fading Smile, I've added another missed golden moment to my list. Boston, from 1955 to 1960. According to Peter Davison, the shining city on the hill was once a veritable Mount Parnassus. Walk around Harvard Square, and you could bump into Robert Bly and a woman friend, double dating with Donald Hall and Adrian Rich. Stumble into most any cocktail party, and it's likely you'd find a poetry jam starring such sozzled versifiers as Ted Hughes, Maxine Cumin, Richard Wilbur, and W.S. Merwin. The way Davison evokes the literary life he witnessed in Boston during the 50s could be summed up in those immortal lines by William Wordsworth, one of the few poets not on the scene then. Bliss was it in that dawn to be alive, but to be young was very heaven. The Fading Smile is a group portrait of some now famous poets who were based in Boston during the late 50s, a time when they were either just beginning their careers or gaining their full reputations. Davison can't explain this strange harmonic convergence in Boston back then, except to note that the grizzled presence of Robert Frost was a draw, as was Robert Lowell, who taught a poetry seminar at Boston University. Both Sylvia Plath and Anne Sexton were in that seminar, after which, as Sexton wittily recalled, they'd sometimes drive to the Ritz-Carlton, park in the hotel loading zone, and go into the bar to load up on martinis. Davison offers some rigorous critiques of the poetry produced by his fellow Boston bards, but as that cocktail clatch anecdote suggests, the naughty appeal of a book like this is the way it mixes discussions of poetic scansion with poetic scandal. We hear, for instance, about a nightmarish party at Lowell's house, where W.S. Merwin kept pestering him with the question, "What do you really think of my work?" until Lowell finally answered, "I think you're a very, very good second-rate poet." When the subject of 1950s American poetry comes up, you usually hear about the Beats. So Davison helpfully reminds us of the East Coast poetic renaissance going on then. He also implicitly reminds us of what an old boys' club poetry used to be. Adrian Rich had to sneak into the men-only Harvard poetry room, and Frost and Lowell were pretty dismissive of their women students. Davison's own opinions sometimes reflect the genteel sexism of the times that formed him. He's a bit too willing, for my taste, to resort to that old dodge of blaming poets' wives for their creative problems. And while we learn that Sylvia Plath resented Adrian Rich, who in turn felt threatened by Anne Sexton, we don't hear much about similar poetic catfights among the boys. The Fading Smile is a lively, substantive account of what Davison calls one of the most exciting poetic surges ever to take place in America. But it also inadvertently lets you experience the sexist undertow that Plath and company had to battle.
Maureen Corrigan teaches at Georgetown University. She reviewed The Fading Smile by Peter Davison.